And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go, man. Dude, this is the best time of year for sports.
Amen, amen.
Like, truly, basketball's starting, football's going, baseball's ending. Dude, can't get better than this.
It's true, it's true. I feel like it was, like, pretty recent that we were talking NBA playoffs.
I know, right?
And so, this offseason's kind of just flown by.
Yeah, it has.
I'm excited for another season. This will be our third season.
Yeah.
Diving into Jazz basketball. And I don't know, I feel like this is the one I've probably been most excited for over the past
lots of anticipation
years.
This one. That's been exciting.
But we got an awesome episode prepared for you all today. We will, of course, talk about all the interviews and Jazz Media Day items. Lots of exciting news about some of the players, what they've been doing through the offseason, them answering questions and interviews, as well as our front office. We'll also talk about Ace Bailey getting a new agent and some Jazz signings for the training camp. And we also got a little bit of NBA news with LeBron maybe retiring, maybe not. We'll get into that. And then we'll also talk local sports with our Utah Mammoth and our BYU football and basketball.
And you are not going to want to miss our past episodes. This summer we've gone into a ton of things, from coaching to players, new prospects, rookies. We've gone into it all, so you want to check that out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. And this is episode 83 of Tuned In. Yes.
Well, it feels like we've got a lot to talk about
this week.
And we've been waiting, many months, like 2 or 3 months? We've been waiting for an episode like this where we feel like man, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we even took some stuff out of this episode. We're like, man, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, usually we're scraping for news,
whatever
small bit of news we can get during the offseason.
Oh man, it's exciting. I guess it's not really an exciting time if you are Ace Bailey's agent, though. I don't even know his name, honestly, but he fired his agent.
Omar Cooper.
That's right. Honestly, probably the best thing that could ever happen for Ace Bailey. In my opinion, I kind of feel like maybe that whole show that went on around the draft maybe wasn't completely all him, you know? I feel like these young kids need an agent that's like a voice of reason, that's going to be like, okay, let's calm down. Like, you know, let's just play, get you some money kind of thing. So probably a good thing.
If anything, before we drafted Ace, I kind of thought, who's this punk kid?
Exactly.
That doesn't want to get drafted to
totally.
Us. And now that we've actually met Ace, he's like a beam of like positivity.
Absolutely.
He always seems like super positive, hard worker, and totally different than maybe what we thought his personality was before the draft, just because of the agent.
Yeah.
There's a quote he said in an interview. Ace said, "I feel like I just made the best decision to move forward to better me and my family in the position that way."
I love that.
So I think he just wants to be represented more of who he is. I don't know. No shade to Omar Cooper. I'm sure he's an awesome guy.
Absolutely.
But Ace Bailey just feels like maybe another agent could help him with NBA.
What a mature way to respond to. I love that. Like, the kid's 19. You know how many how many clicks he could get on TikTok and Instagram if he just totally roasted his agent and was like, screw that guy, you know?
Yeah.
But instead he just comes like, I made the best decision for me. And that's all he needs to say, honestly. So I love it. I think that's so awesome.
Another Jazz item I think we forgot to even mention before. The Jazz new arena voice announced.
That's right.
Because our boy Dan Roberts, he'd been it for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to him. I think he's doing great. But we got a new Jazz voice.
Yeah.
Trying to think of his name. Looking it up. Marquis Denman.
Yegor Denman.
Mark Denman.
Okay.
I think I'm probably saying your name wrong. We'll get to know his name really well throughout the season.
Yeah, that's how.
But he got introduced as a new voice of the Jazz. Be exciting to see and I guess hear him when we're going to the Delta Center.
It's going to be weird going to the Delta Center this year because it's pretty much like an all new arena inside, all new voice.
Yeah.
Feels like a new team in some ways, you know, it's just going to be kind
of
weird.
Jerseys finally got new rid jerseys, of those yellow exactly. jerseys we hate.
Totally agree. Jazz Media Day. Well, Media Day around the NBA, really, but Jazz had their Media Day. Tons of things we could talk about. What are some like things that stick out to you from interviews? Anything come up that you thought was interesting?
Well, I think one, I always love when they start out with the front office.
Yeah.
Because really, you can ask like the questions we all want to hear an answer from, we kind of ask the front office.
Yeah.
And so I can't remember exactly what they said, but a question came to like Austin Ainge and Ryan Smith about what are we trying to do this year? Mm-hmm. Or essentially, like, what's the plan for this season? We know we got a lot of young guys. And really, I think what they said was we're focusing on development. I don't want to paraphrase because I don't remember exactly, but I think their focus is mainly development. And they're going to try and win games.
Yeah.
And I think the players on the team, I've kind of felt that way as well. Like, they're not trying to lose games this year, right? Maybe last year we were, but we didn't say we were. But this year it feels like we're just trying to win as many games as we can.
Yeah.
And get better.
Absolutely. Totally agree. I love that. Honestly, I was really impressed too by Will Hardy. I thought he just, like, I love how like calm and collected Will Hardy is. It seems like he's very thought out in the way he answers questions.
Mm-hmm.
He really loves his players, which I think is cool. I don't think you feel that from all the players or all the coaches in the NBA. But Will Hardy, like, he always just has good things to say about all his players, which I thought was really cool. Yeah,
love his motto, show love.
Absolutely.
He always says that and has shirts about it.
Yeah, it's so sick. One thing that came up, we knew it was going to come up, but Walker Kessler and the Jazz didn't see eye to eye on contract extension before their deadline. I can't remember what the deadline was. It's probably that same one that Lowry hit last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Kessler didn't sign an extension, which means that I think he'll be a restricted free agent next year, I believe.
Yeah, because he'll finish off the rookie deal.
His rookie deal. So it seems like Walker Kessler was a little frustrated. It wasn't like he was really mad, but he definitely said that it was frustrating. And one comment I thought was interesting, to your point you just said, is Walker Kessler said something about how his focus this year is going to be on playing winning basketball. And I was like, that kind of feels like a shot at the organization a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, like,
I mean, he did that last year, I'd argue. Yeah,
that's true. But I just think if you're a guy like Orkessler and this is a contract year for you, you're like, I'm not going to help them tank. I'm going to go get my money, whether it's at the Jazz or somewhere else. So I have a lot of respect for that. I think that's good for the Jazz to have a player like that.
And I would point out just how good Walker Kessler played last year.
Absolutely.
And in my opinion, even if he does take a step back this year from last year,
mm-hmm.
I still am pretty confident that he's a great shot blocker and anchor on defense. That probably will not change in the future. And he's a great rebounder and really just kind of one of those hard hat centers.
Yeah.
So I think regardless of what happens this season, when we get to next season and we're thinking about re-signing Walker Kessler, we know what we're getting from him. Mm-hmm. That is, maybe we'll see him improve in other aspects, like on mostly offensively, right?
Yeah.
But if anything, I don't think you can, doesn't matter what happens this year, you know, you're from Walker Kessler, you're going to get a defensive anchor, you're going to get a rebounder.
Absolutely.
And maybe more. We'll see, but at least that.
The only thing that makes me sad for Walker is that I think he missed his window to win Defensive Player of the Year. I think Wemby's going to have a stronghold on it for a while.
That's but, so fair. If we were a good enough team, he might have been in talks.
That's true. Yeah, if the Jazz had a number one defense, I think he would have been there. But kind of interesting.
Yeah. Would you agree with the front office to not re-sign him?
I kind of wish we would have re-signed him, honestly. I kind of still don't like this like idea of the, it kind of feels like we're still doing the big game hunting thing where we're like trying to scrape every dime we can and every pick we can. And it's like, I don't know what piece we're trying to trade for. Like, why don't we just keep the guys that we got lucky on in the draft, you know? So I kind of wish we would have paid him, but where are you landing at?
I'm trying to figure out what the dollar amount would have been.
Yeah.
Because he is finishing a rookie deal. He's never made an all-star.
It's true.
He's made defensive team, maybe. I think he's made defensive.
I think so.
Maybe. But I don't know. I see some players getting a little bit too crazy of rookie deals.
That's
like
true.
Extensions, like Emmanuel Quickly. I think he signed one for like $190 million for 5 years.
That's insane.
So it's like, what, $45 million a year?
That's
something like
wild.
That. So I'm not trying to pay Kessler $45 million a year.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. So I'm okay waiting if that's what we're talking about. But if it was like maybe somewhere in the like $30 million a year range, I think I would resign him for that.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know what dollar amount they were talking about.
I think in general too, it's just hard to like justify paying a specialty player like him a lot of money. Like you know me, I'm a big Rudy Gobert guy. I love Rudy Gobert. But I'm like, I still look at that contract and I'm like, you're paying all that just for defense.
Yeah.
And that's great. But like, it does kind of like raise some eyebrows. You're like, so Walker's got to like add some to the offense, I think, to get up to that big number.
I think you're right. But we'll see. I guess the Jazz didn't feel like, and I mean, they've got time as well, so I don't blame them.
Yeah, totally agree. One thing I thought was interesting, Will Hardy, somebody, I don't remember if it was in his press conference or just a question later, but somebody asked him who had the best summer. And I thought it was interesting. He said he thought Keontae made the biggest strides with his body this summer. I thought that was really interesting.
Like building muscle? Or?
Yeah, building muscle, taking care of himself. Like he was in really good shape, he said. Which I think is interesting. I still think Keontae's got to shoot better. I don't think his shape or whatever it was ever his problem. It was probably his shooting, 30% or whatever it was. But I thought that was really interesting. Could be exciting.
And also, I think one player I'm very interested in seeing is Taylor Hendricks.
Oh yeah,
because he's basically had two off seasons.
Dude, so I'm so hyped.
And so he's. His body looked great last year, and I feel like it still looks great. And he's been talking about, I think a good point from him is he's as ready as he could ever be to play basketball. And I'm as ready as I could be to watch him play basketball.
Dude, it's so hard.
I know Taylor Hendricks had a pretty good couple games before the injury. He's looking good. I think he might have played a little bit in summer league and looked all right, right? I think he was shut down for most of it. But I don't know. If anything, the most intriguing player on the team for me, outside of maybe Ace Bailey, is Taylor Hendricks.
Absolutely.
And what is Taylor Hendricks? Where is he fit in our rotation? Because there's a lot of bodies now. Got to figure out where we kind of stand with him.
Absolutely. I thought it was interesting. I was prepping for this episode. I was looking at some stats from last year. Obviously, I know Taylor Hendricks only played 3 games, but in 25 minutes in those 3 games, he had 1.7 steals a game and 1.3 blocks a game.
It's great.
And it's like, dude, and he was just warming up. I'm like, if you can keep that pace on both of those, you're an all defensive team guy in the NBA. Like, that's elite defense.
Well, and in the interview, he said, I want to be the best defender in the league.
Yeah.
And who says he couldn't? I mean, he's got a ways to go. He's got a prove himself for multiple years, but that's what he says he wants, is he wants to be the best defender in the league. And I think to start, let's get to be the best defensive player on the team.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think he could definitely do that after this season.
I think if he can become that guy where you're like the Jaden McDaniels, where you're like come in and guard the best player in this big moment at the end of the game, that's what we want Taylor Hendricks to be, I think. I don't think we need him to be like a crazy good scorer.
There's a lot of teams that have a Jaden McDaniels on the Timberwolves.
Lou Dort.
Lou Dort's a great example. And he's got to be able to at least make a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aaron Nesmith.
Oh, yeah.
I would argue
it's a great example.
One
of
those guys. Every team has one of those glue guys. So, I think that's a great goal for Taylor. Be the best defense player you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing for me today I'm getting really excited about is the veterans we brought in. Seems like every year in this rebuild, we've tried to bring in some veterans, and then it's been kind of weird because they've started over guys that shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it feels like this year's group of starters doesn't really have, like, doesn't seem like they're going to play But I do think they're going to bring a lot. Like, I'm excited for Kevin Love.
Oh, yeah.
I thought his press conference.
He's bought in now, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm most excited for him because we have a lot of really young bigs like Caulfield Paskey, even Walker Kessler, who are like, man, we need like a guy who's a big who can wrap their arms around him and be like, this is how you rebound at a high level.
Yeah, or take charges. Kevin Love's a beast at taking charges.
Absolutely. Play your role. That stuff's all great.
Well, you know, in Laurie's interview, he was talking about how him and Kevin Love played on the Cavaliers together.
Oh, that's
for
right.
For like that one season.
I forgot about that.
And
yeah.
So he's happy to have Kevin on the team. And I think they already have a little bit of a friendship built from that season.
Yeah. I was listening to the sports radio this week and they were talking about how Lowry's just kind of not an outcast on this team, but you know, he's a dad. He's not a 19-year-old kid that just got out of college like most of these guys.
He's on a team with a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's nice having Kevin Love, who's also a dad, and they could just go fishing together or whatever.
Sure.
You know, whatever they want to do. So hopefully that helps Lowry too.
For camaraderie.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Also, I think another player I just wanted to bring up is Bryce Sensabaugh.
Yeah.
We've said this before last season, so this is nothing new, but he said one of the biggest things he's trying to work on is his defense. And I think last year he proved that he's a great 3-point shooter, shot 40%. He had a couple 25 to 30 point games throughout the season. He's offensively, he's doing all right.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I think he said his biggest goal for the season is to take a leap on the defensive side. He said, I've already done that in summer league, so keep watching out for that as I continue to play. So I think we'll be looking out for how good he does on defense.
Dude, that's hype. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter how well Will Hardy coaches them on defense. You got to have guys that buy in.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't just have Walker Kessler blocking shots at the rim because they'll just stop shooting at the rim. You got to have Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh, and a guy I'm really excited about. Well, this is going to sound weird because of how bad he was last year, but I'm just really praying Cody Williams has a better year this year. I honestly...
Is he your most interesting guy, maybe?
I think so, yeah. I mean...
Taylor?
When I watched him at Summer League, I was really impressed. I wasn't really expecting anything from him, but I was like, dang, he's like shooting shots. He's being aggressive. He's not just sitting there waiting for the ball to come to him.
Driving to the rim. Moving people out the way.
Contesting shots. He's got such long arms. It's like there's no reason this guy can't like force people to take bad shots. It's like, so my hope would be that he takes that similar initiative and just becomes elite defensively.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting between him and Taylor because I feel like they're both in the same situation.
Absolutely.
Where we have both these great defensive prospects on the bench and we're going to have to play both of them. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting for me to see, A, if anybody gets hurt, we're going to have a lot of depth at that position.
That's
and two, like if everybody's healthy, like who's going to play that like end of bench minutes between Hendricks and Williams, but we'll see.
And I think those guys more so than anybody else on the team are fighting for their NBA careers.
You're right.
I don't think anybody after last year is interested in Cody Williams. I think Taylor Hendricks and he's now got kind of some liabilities with injuries, and it's like those guys got to earn or else they're going to be in the G League next year or playing Europe or something. So kind of crazy.
Well, and you know, they're both still on their rookie deals. I think Taylor's got 2 more years.
Yeah.
And Cody's got 3, but still.
Yeah.
Those rookie deals, they have options, right? You can decline an option, you're gone.
Yeah. It wouldn't hurt the Jazz to waive them at all either, pretty much.
No.
So they got to play for it. They got to earn it. Speaking of guys who earned their spot, I guess, not really. I don't know. Mo Bamba made his way back to the Jazz.
Let's go. I got Mo.
That was weird.
Are they going to play that at the games now? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember when we got Mo Bamba originally because he was at our team like recently, right?
And then you sent me a post of him like on a hike with the team.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, he's not on the team.
Yeah, because he like came to us in a trade and then I think
that's right.
He got waived like pretty quickly and I guess the Jets wanted him back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's on the training camp roster, so he's not on the real team yet, but we'll see.
And then we signed 2 other guys. I can't remember. I heard that maybe one of them got cut.
I think both of them got cut.
Okay, Steven Crowell and Matthew Morrell. I'd never heard of either of those guys.
Yeah, neither have I.
But kind of interesting. I kind of feel like our roster, I don't really... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about KJ Martin getting waived. We knew we had 16 players. We needed to waive one.
Yeah.
So we got that figured out.
Absolutely.
So everybody else. I'm surprised, honestly, that KJ Martin was the one waived. I thought it'd be somebody else.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. But I guess the Jazz roster's pretty much final. I'm kind of surprised that some of these, like I'm not going to lie, I didn't think Kyle Anderson was going to be around at this point.
Yeah.
Or when we talked about Kevin Love already.
I used to hate Kyle Anderson on the on the Timberwolves. And
I see why Gobert punched him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to start to love him.
Yeah, that's right.
Slow-mo.
Yeah, and then Svi Mykhailiuk, I'm kind of surprised still a little, but
he's sticking around.
He is sticking around.
He's a good shooter. If anything, he can share that knowledge.
That's right. So, super interesting. Another piece of Jazz news. Jazz are going to have, well, first of all, no more highlighter jerseys, which is fantastic
news.
That's
the, honestly, forget about everything else. That's the that's the best news we've heard all offseason.
And then the cherry on top, or should I say like the patch on the jersey, Frank Layden, going to be on the Jazz jersey all year this year. Super cool. Of course, he's a legend. I think we talked about him this summer.
We wouldn't have a team if it weren't for him, probably.
Yeah. A lot of our history is Jazz. It's all Frank Layden. He started it all with Stockton and Malone, and pretty incredible. So, well, the decision part two. Did you see that
LeBron
video?
LeBron's your guy. I know you like...
He is my guy.
I don't know if you'd call him your guy, but I know you're a LeBron fan.
I am a LeBron fan. I think I'm going to go try to see a LeBron game this year. Because I really think...
Tickets are expensive.
They're getting up there, yeah.
I was looking at Jazz ticket prices. Yeah. Most games are like $20. Lakers are like 90, 60 to 90.
It's nuts.
So it's quite a bit.
Well, and so he posted a video yesterday, as of the day we're recording this, it was on the 6th, that said 10 a.m. tomorrow, or 12 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, the decision part two. And it's like, oh, shoot. And like, this is it. But then it ended up just being like an ad for his tequila or something. I can't remember. But honestly, though, I just think it's crazy that in our lifetime of watching basketball, for the most part, we've never known an NBA without LeBron being one of the best players in the league. I just think that's insane to me. It's kind of like hard for my mind to wrap around the idea that the NBA will be without LeBron at some point soon. It's kind of crazy to me. But
and honestly, KD, same way.
Yeah.
I've
absolutely...
KD's basically played as long as I've been a fan of the NBA.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
I also think it's good to point out LeBron, he's the one that brings the most eyeballs to the screen.
Totally agree.
Even if he is on like a 20-win team, they'd probably get 15 to 20 national TV games just because he's on the team.
Yeah.
And so I just hope at least that LeBron doesn't, like when he retires, that people don't stop watching basketball.
Totally agree.
I think we've got a lot of up and coming stars that are just as exciting, but maybe to the average fan, they got to learn a couple of them. But if anything, I think you just got to give praise to LeBron. He's one of the GOATs.
Oh, I almost said it.
I was about to say it, but I'm not going to say it.
That's fair.
He's one of the GOATs, one of the best of all time. And
yeah.
But I think we'll have him. I don't know. I don't think this is his last year.
You don't think so?
I think he's got two left.
That's true. He says he's not waiting for his other son, but we'll see. I don't know. His other son plays at Arizona this year. What's his name? Why can't I think
Bryce.
Of? Oh, Bryce. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Bryce. I don't know if Bryce is one and done. I don't even know if I don't know if Bronny should have been one and done.
I don't think he should have.
But it was cool to see them play together. So
wouldn't it be interesting, LeBron retires from the NBA but then starts playing like China basketball or like EuroLeague or something?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Or dude, the
Big Three.
That's what I was gonna say. Dude, go get D Wade and Bosh play together again. That'd be sick.
Melo.
Dude, Melo, that'd be so sick.
Michael Beasley, he's been playing everybody, right?
Yeah, bro, bring Shaq out of retirement. Bring back your Cleveland days.
I think if he does retire, he'll definitely get on Big Three.
Yeah. I think as soon as LeBron retires, the NBA is going to start taking seriously expansion. Because I think LeBron wants in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the NBA is just waiting. Well, maybe they're not. open about waiting for LeBron, but I think I think it's implied.
I heard somebody say that if you like reach a certain tier of player for in the NBA, mm-hmm. you should get like a percentage stock of that team when you retire.
Ooh, that'd be sick.
What do you think of that?
That's a good idea.
I mean, the owners probably don't like that because then they're losing some shares. But
I know the NFL's kind of started doing that. What is it, like Caleb Williams is like part of his contract is he gets like shares of the team. I'm sure it's not a lot, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah,
probably a little tiny bit.
I think that'd be
cool. Like LeBron, he should get a little stake of the Lakers because he got a chip.
Yeah.
And a little stake of the Heat and the Cavs because he got a chip.
That'd be sick, dude. I actually wouldn't mind that. Especially guys like Kobe. Imagine you get 5 chips. Did you own the whole team, basically?
That'd be crazy. Yeah,
Bill Walton would own the whole city of Boston, if we're being real.
Maybe, honestly. Or Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. I don't know what I was thinking, but Bill Walton didn't win.
Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace.
What's both of them?
Right.
Well, we also got a lot of BYU local sports.
Yeah.
We're seeing this video of Keontae George looking at AJ DeBonta dunk the ball.
Yeah.
AJ DeBonta's got bounce.
Dude. Yeah.
Dude, he could honestly be in the NBA dunk contest this year as a college player, but we'll have to wait at least a year for him to get invited.
Yeah, Keontae said something like it was the craziest dunk he's ever seen. And they were like, what does that mean? He's like, I can't say, but it was crazy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude.
He's glazing a little bit.
He probably is, but
that might be a little much.
It'd be exciting to see AJ. It makes me wonder if he'll be at that level by the time the Olympics comes back around. He's kind of like, I know he really loves playing for Team USA, so it'd be interesting to see if he can get to that level by then.
Yeah, I mean, he could do what Cooper Flagg did, where he was on the select team.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know.
But he'll be in the NBA by then, so we'll see.
That's interesting.
Because it's still, 3 summers away?
Yeah, in LA.
In LA, that's so right.
Maybe LeBron will come out of retirement for that if he's out.
He'll be the AJ DeBonta will be the next Jazz player to play in the Olympics. I'm just kidding.
Oh, rigging it.
I hope we're not the worst team in the NBA this year.
Yeah, we'll get our predictions in next week, but I'm sure we'll get more wins than last year. Please,
absolutely. I hope so.
But BYU basketball is looking really good.
Really
we got
nice.
Our first kind of game. It's like the blue and white game this week.
It's exciting. Are you gonna go?
I'm gonna try to go. We'll see if I'll be able to make it, but
yeah, I think I'm gonna try to go. It's a little bit of a drive, but it'll be fun. BYU also pulled in. It's kind of interesting. Kevin Young just has poll, I guess, because he pulled in the number one JUCO recruit in the country.
Oh wow! Year or next year?
It's a point guard. His last name is Perry. I can't remember first name, but he's gonna join the team midway through the season in red shirt, and he'll be on the team next year.
Oh wow!
But it's kind of crazy how Kevin Young last year pulled in the number one international recruit, Yegor Demon. This year he pulls in the number one high school recruit, AJ DeBonta, and then he picks up the number one JUCO recruit for next year. It's just, it's so insane, bro. I can't even believe it.
Is the number one JUCO recruit, how good is he going to be? Like, I don't really know how that translates to Division One.
I mean, you look at like the trend in college basketball, that's getting really big. Like Mark Sears, he was a JUCO guy.
Or the guy, Janai Broom.
Janai Broom was a JUCO guy. Those two big guys from Michigan, they were both JUCO guys.
Oh, okay. Both got drafted to the NBA.
They did.
Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf, right?
Dalton Knecht was a JUCO guy. He was really big at Tennessee. So it's turning into a big thing. So hopefully
they're for real.
I hope he comes in.
I don't know what the guy's name is.
Yeah, I think it's like EJ Perry or something.
J Perry or Perry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty big recruit. BYU football though, 5-0 feels pretty good. Honestly,
I think it's a good number.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we're pretty much bowl eligible, and it's like at this point, anything we add is just kind of like I don't know. It's probably expecting too much from a rookie QB to go undefeated. But if we win 7-8 games, that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility at this point.
Well, we're gonna go through the gauntlet the next couple of weeks. Arizona Maybe. Shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
But then you got Utah, who we know is going to be always a battle.
It's going to be a slugfest,
always a battle. And then we got Iowa State and Texas Tech.
And Texas Tech.
So, I'm glad we play them because it looks like Texas Tech's like the favorite to win the conference. So we pretty much control our own destiny. If we can beat Texas Tech, at least we might end up facing them in the championship as well. But if we could beat them once, maybe twice, I think we control our own destiny. We can stamp our ticket to the playoff if we just win all of them.
I think the biggest one of those, as far as postseason goes, I think BYU needs to beat Utah. I know that's saying a lot because it's a big game, but
and it's at home, so you got to give us like a little bit more of an advantage at home.
Because Utah, after this week and next week, their schedule gets pretty easy because they play Arizona State this week, which is tough. They'll play us next week, which is tough. And then I think after that, it's pretty smooth. So if they like win out, even with one loss, even if we only have one loss to them, they'll have the tiebreakers, I think.
It kind of stunk last year. We had two losses, right? And it is just because of Kansas.
And we were tied for first. We would have
Everybody had two losses, so it seems like this year, I think you got to have, you either got to be undefeated or one loss. I don't think you're gonna make the championship without that.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Just the way it's going.
So it'll be interesting. Texas Tech's defense looks pretty elite. I mean, they shut down Utah pretty good. I think our defense will do well against Utah. I kind of think that game's going to be like a 3-6 type of final score. Like, I think it's going to be kind of just a couple score game.
We gotta take care of the ball.
Totally agree.
That last game, three turnovers, fumbles, and the interception.
Yeah.
That's not gonna fly against Utah or Texas Tech. So I think if we take care of the ball and we limit our own penalties, I think we'll be in good shape. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think another big piece, Jack Kelly, looks like he might be out. Like, separated his shoulder. They're saying he could be back by Utah. But I think we need Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker. Oh, yeah. Those guys both got injured last game. Without them, our defense is pretty... They're our defensive anchors, so...
Well, I think you could argue Jack Kelly won us the Colorado game with a couple sacks.
Totally.
Because the quarterback was fast. He's getting out of the pocket. He was getting yards on the run. And Jack Kelly is just so fast and able to track down the quarterback that I think he saved us that Colorado game, in my opinion.
Totally.
So, I mean, Utah's got a mobile quarterback. Yeah. I don't know about Texas Tech, but it's something we got to worry about.
Yeah, Texas Tech's backup. I don't know what the health of Baron Morton is, their starter, but their backup's the one that came in and torched Utah with his legs. So, I think we'll need to be ready for that.
For both, we'll need Kelly for all those mobile quarterbacks.
I agree. And Isaiah Glasker, too, drop back and cover. Both those guys, we need them. Yeah,
they're the best defensive players, arguably.
Yeah.
Well, we also got hockey coming up.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like...
It's so hard.
I feel like I'm no expert when it comes to hockey. You probably feel the same way.
I feel maybe a little more confident than I did last year at this time.
Right?
But still not very confident.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Connor Ingram got traded to the Oilers, even though I think we already, like, tried to waive him.
Yeah, I think
so. It's like, I don't even know how that works, but I guess the Oilers wanted him. Yeah. So we traded him away. I think they're just going to take like 60% of his contract and we're going to still have to pay him.
Yeah, that's not a bad trade, I think.
But then the guy I'm most excited about is JJ Pechtra, I think, right?
He scored a couple goals in our preseason so far. Yeah. He's been nice.
He's supposed to be one of the like more promising young goal scorers in the league.
Yeah.
And last year we could have scored more goals. So
yeah.
And then what's our captain's name?
Clayton Keller.
Clayton Keller. I think I've heard people, like, from what I've heard, he had his best year last year.
Yeah.
And so he's getting better. He's had his best year. Got JJ Pechtra coming in. Our goal scoring should be a little better.
Yeah, I think we have a little more. Seemed like last year it was a little unclear who was going to be the goalie. Vizhmelk is going to be the guy this year.
Yeah, did you see the new like masks that they got for the
and
goalies?
The new jerseys look nice.
Yeah, I need to get myself one of them.
Me too. Honestly, I saw some videos of the new arena, like the inside. I know they've just finished the lower bowl, but the seats like look like they're really steep, but it like leaves a ton of leg room. Last year there was tons of complaints about like people leaning forward. I guess it like blocks the ice from mm-hmm. people behind you, so it shouldn't be a problem this year if you're sitting lower.
Nice.
Bowl, which we probably won't because it's
yeah, that's
too expensive. But
I mean, they got to prioritize where the money's at.
That's fair.
I don't blame them.
It'll be cool when that's done all over the stadium and people can enjoy.
Yeah.
It'll be cool.
Yeah, but I'm excited to watch some hockey. I get the notifications for ESPN articles for the Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read them because I know those experts know more than me.
That's right.
But from what I've heard, I think the consensus is that we're expected to make the playoffs this year because we were so close last year. We got better.
Yeah, we were in the hunt.
So yeah. I think I'm expecting a playoff year this year.
Yeah.
And hopefully, barring injuries, barring all whatnot, I think we should make the playoffs.
Yeah, totally agree. Mammoth start. The NHL season officially starts tonight. The first games are already underway as we speak. But the Mammoth start on Thursday against the Avalanche in Colorado. Ooh, so
kind of a rivalry, maybe.
Yeah. I think
that crosstown.
That'd be a cool rivalry to start if it isn't. So yeah, it'll be exciting. We appreciate you joining us on our episode today. Again, don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've talked a lot about our prospects and the team this year. You don't want to miss all those. You can find those all on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And take care.